All right, if you'd take your Bibles and open them tonight to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9 tonight. We've been talking a lot about experiencing the presence of God and abiding in Him, pursuing holiness, desiring to worship Him like He deserves to be worshiped. Ultimately, what we're looking at is pursuing God. Not just the things of God, but we're pursuing Him. Because a lot of people can pursue the things of God and not really know God. So we're going to take a look at that tonight. Beginning in verse 23 of Jeremiah chapter 9. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Now, let's not just read that and then just go, wow, that sounds good. Let's go back one more time. And let's just again, let this soak in. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Father, I ask that you'll help us to understand that we don't need to boast about anything except you. About you. Lord, you have been so kind to us. Father, you've been so good to us. You've been so faithful to us. You've been so forgiving to us. You've been so loving to us. You have poured your life out for us. And because of that, Lord, we can't stand and boast about anything that we've done because all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. But Lord, we can boast about you. You are always there for us. We thank you, Lord, that tonight as we look at pursuing you, literally chasing after you, wanting to be in your presence, wanting to abide and stay there, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to all of us, including my heart right now. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said to the church at Philippi, in chapter 3, verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. And participation in his sufferings, becoming like him even in his death. Now think about that, folks. Paul didn't say, I want to become more like Jesus so I'll have a lot of popularity and people will follow me everywhere. He said, I want to be like Jesus so I can even die to myself. And I'll do whatever it takes. And he did, by the way. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to participate even in his sufferings and even become like him in his death. In other words, saying to this effect, everybody else means more than me. I'm willing to sacrifice everything for the cause of Christ. And I wonder if we were like that, would things be different? I'm sure they would be. I'm sure they would be. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Verses 21, 20 and 21. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly. And so he prospered. In other words, Hezekiah had the same desire in his heart that he wanted to seek God. He wanted to be in his presence. He wanted to stay there. He wanted to enjoy the love of God and the Lord his God. Psalm 63, verse 8. David says, I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Have you ever seen a little child who loves their mama so much that when somebody else comes up and says, hey, come to me, they go, oh, I'm holding on to mom. Oh, come here for just a minute. No, and they start crying. They don't want to leave mom. I feel like somehow we say, God, I love you, but stay over here for a while because I got to go do this. You know, and I know where you are, and I know where to find you, and I can always call upon you, but there's just some things I got to do. That's not the kind of relationship God wants with us. He wants us to pursue him completely, to be in his presence, to stay there and abide. Ultimately, to desire to be like him. You know, he speaks many times about having the mind of Christ, about being like Jesus. Do we truly desire to be like Jesus? Or do we desire to be a Christian? What I mean by that? What I mean is, do we desire to be like Jesus, or do we desire to fit a mold that this world thinks of when they think of Christians? Because I'm not sure that's exactly where I want to be. But where I really do want to be is made into the likeness of Christ. That's where I want to be. I want to be made more and more every single day like him. Amos 3, verse 3. Do two walk together unless they are agreed to do so? Right? I mean, it's interesting that people want to follow Jesus, but then they're not following Jesus because he's going that way. Right? How can we be together if we're not going the same direction? And you might say, well, Jesus, I've got to go do this. And Jesus said, no, you don't. You need to come with me. Because his way is always the best way. Have you ever noticed we've become like the ones we are around all the time? When you're around somebody all the time, you become more and more like them. In fact, honestly, I've seen so many elderly people, and I call people elderly when they're probably like 85, 90 years old, because I'm not elderly. But I see people that are elderly, and I think, man, they act the same, they talk the same, they do the same things. It's just, yeah, you become more like the people that you're around all the time. Do you have heroes that you look up to? Well, I wonder if those heroes are heroes from Scripture, or are they heroes from some kind of football team, or what? I don't know. Who are they? Who do you look up to? We can have no better hero than Jesus. We need to keep our eyes fixed on him, as Paul says. As the writer of Hebrews says, I keep my eyes fixed on him, the author and the perfecter of my faith, who for the joy set before him he endured the cross. That's my hero. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, for it is written, be holy. Why? Because I am holy. So be like me. In other words, that's what God is saying. If you want to abide in me, if you want to be in me. If you want to become like Jesus, be holy. Be set apart, different than everybody else. Keeping your eyes on me. And when we spend time with Him, we want to see more of Him. I can tell you, folks, if we just do a little quiet time, a little prayer time, guess what we'll be? A little Christian. But when we start hiding God's Word in our hearts, when we begin consuming His Word, when we begin to meditate on it, we'll be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, which bears its fruit in season. Whatsoever it does prospers, but not so the wicked. God wants us to spend time with Him. And the more we spend time with Him, the more we'll want to see Him and be with Him and see more of what He has for us. And as that happens, something else happens. He begins to reveal truth to us. You see, Isaiah was a prophet. I mean, there's no doubt that he'd been spending time with God. He was called by God, who was speaking in many cases with the voice of God to the people of Israel. But God says, okay, now I want to take you to the next level. And in Isaiah chapter 6, you all recall this passage, verses 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, Isaiah cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. You see, when you begin to want to spend time with God and truly do so, it begins to change our whole perspective. And the one who was the spokesman for God in the nation of Israel became the one who says, I am unclean. I'm unclean. By the way, that's the same word that the lepers would shout out, unclean. Don't get near me. You don't need to be around me, because if you get around me, you might get what I have. That's not what a person of God ought to be shouting, right? We should be shouting, come. Get close. Let's serve God together. But when we see God like He really is, we'll realize how unclean we really are. And that's what happened to Isaiah. God is holy. Times three. The seraphim were shouting out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Probably because He's holy three times because of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But He's holy because He's above everything else. We are unholy. Times three. Body, soul, and spirit. We are unholy. There is sin in us, none in Him. He is strong, we are weak. He is perfect, we are imperfect. He is powerful. Not only are we unpowerful, if that's a word, weak, but we tend to worry a lot, don't we? I wonder how many people worry so much that they're really of no value to God. I had a friend in the ministry that every once in a while he'd come up with a good one. And he told me one time, he says, you know, there's a lot of people that are worrying about, and we were talking about some particular thing that was about to happen. There's a lot of people worrying about this. He said, yeah, what I do, I just tell them this. There's only two things you can worry about. things you can change and things you can't. The things you can change, change them. The things you can't, what good is it going to do to worry about them? But the fact is most people are eaten up with worry. They're worried about this. They're worried about that. How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to do this? That's not our concern anyway. We are to seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and then all the other things will be added to us as well, right? Straight from the mouth of God. What the holiness of God does, with what the fellowship of God does, what abiding in God does, is it does this. It makes us strong and secure. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of everything that He's done. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 31 says, "But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." It's in Him and Him alone that we have any opportunity to boast. And it's about Him and it's for Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says, "That's why for Christ's sake I delight in my weaknesses," Paul says. "In insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I think we tend to think, when I am strong, I am strong. No. When we are strong, we're really weak. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you've received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore," what's it there for? "Because you've been bought with a price, therefore honor God in your bodies." Romans chapter 8. Love this passage. "Who shall separate us then from the love of Christ? Trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors." Now think about that. Have you ever thought about that? More than a conqueror. Well, what's more than a conqueror? God is more than a conqueror. More than conquerors through Him who loved us. Not through our power, not through our strength, not through our wisdom, not through our understanding, but through Him. "For I'm convinced that neither death or life, or angels or demons, or present or future, or any power, height or depth, or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from Him. Nothing. So as we desire to pursue this relationship with God, it cannot be one of these things that, "Lord, I want to try this on for a little bit and see how it fits." It can't be one of these things that you think, "Well, you know, I do want to get closer to God, but I still have some things that I want to do on my own." It's either all or nothing with God. It really is. That's why Jesus said, "I wish you were either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm in the middle, you make me sick, and I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." When are we going to be serious enough to be serious enough and follow Him, pursue Him, no matter what? Father, help us. We need your help, Lord. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt that we are fallible. We struggle. We stump our toes. We say things we shouldn't. We don't say things we should. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I do know this. I want to know you, Lord, and the power of your resurrection. And I want to follow you and live in you and abide in you and grow in you and seek your face. As David said, I want to be in your presence with you in the temple. I want to be with you, Lord. So that, Lord, you can do your work in me. Help us, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.